Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. And that's exactly what we're going to be talking about today. If you are always exploring or curious about consciousness, if you are someone that has a library filled with all kinds of books written by people throughout the years, and you go, what is it? You still have questions. You're always curious. Well, I think our guest, Eva Hare, has some additional points of information that I think you will enjoy. And the reason is that science is beginning to catch up with the sages of old, understanding that the mind is far greater than what we ever could have imagined. And we're going to be discussing some of the conversations that Eva has had with some people that are highly renowned, and you will recognize their names, I'm sure. Eva Hare, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm so grateful to be here.
You know, Eva, it takes something typically special for someone to really cross into both worlds. It's usually typical a person might become interested in the paranormal, the psychic, have various experiences, and they stay there. Or they get into the scientific realm, and their left brain is so employed that they can never link up with the right. How is it that you've been able to put a foot in both worlds and be comfortable with it and still keep an open mind?
Boy, did you just open a door, Donna. Was not a choice. And it has most definitely not been comfortable. It was something that happened to me. And it's something that made me, you know, I wrote my first book, Agape, The Intent of the Soul. And agape, by the way, is a Greek word meaning unconditional love for your fellow mankind, like kind of like you love a baby or a puppy. Mm-hmm. That's my story, and it's really woo-woo, but it's what happened. I'm not really woo-woo, and I was very materialistic, and you would not have liked me. In fact, women hated me because I was all about me. I didn't have any women friends, just one or two, and most of my friends were men. Just, I mean, because I talked like a man, but all I wanted to talk about was business and what we did, and then I wasn't a woman's kind of woman, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And something happened. I had a really dark night of the soul. Something really, really bad happened to me. And it changed my life. And I went to bed one night about 2 years. And 2 year cycles seem to be important. If we had more than an hour, I could go into that. But 2 years later, in my sleep, I had a very profound, spontaneous, spiritual awakening. And I woke up the next morning and didn't understand it. It was like waking up the next morning with an encyclopedic knowledge of science and metaphysics in your head. And I was not a seeker. I was probably, my background's in litigation and politics. I was probably the single most, you know, materialistic woman you've ever met. So for this to happen to me was really strange. And people thought I'd gone crazy. I thought I'd gone crazy, actually. And so I just kind of ignored it, and I started hearing literally, auditorily, be still and listen. And I'd ignore it because it sounds just like, you know, when you get an idea mm-hmm. and you hear it and you say, oh, I'm going to call Susie today, and then about that time the phone rings and it's Susie calling you.
Right.
It was things like that, be still and listen. But I would hear it, and I was like, finally, one day I'd had enough, and I screamed out in my house, who is this? You know, hear what? What do you want? And then all of a sudden, all of this information started pouring in. And I after the spiritual awakening, this was a couple of years after that, I have to back up a little bit. The next morning when I woke up, I was in bliss. And there are no words to describe it. The best way I can describe it is like having an orgasm without the sex and getting to walk around that way for about 6 months. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of gradually faded away. But once you ride the bicycle, you don't forget how. And then I found out that after all this information started pouring in, I started writing it down, and I started thinking about it, and I realized this is the void in my life. This is who I am. This is who we all are. And I just never knew it was there because I didn't know it existed, and it just happened. And so once you ride the bicycle, you can't forget how. And so I suffered. I decided that this was my path. In fact, every time that I heard something that I needed to do on this way that I do it, and I didn't do it, something really bad happened. Like I would get cancer, or a relationship would fall apart with somebody that I really cared about, or I got ran over by my own car. I mean, just a million things happened, bad things that would put me in the bed for 6 to 8 weeks, and then I would hear, be still and listen. And so I finally decided, you know, I don't have any choice. I better be still and listen, or I'm going to end up mutilated and mangled. Mm-hmm. And so I did, and I suffered a tremendous amount of ridicule and disbelief. In fact, Irvin Laszlo told me last week, we were talking about this same topic, and he said, you know, when I first started out doing this in the 80s, people made fun of me, and they ridiculed me, and they ostracized me, and that's exactly what happened to me. Mm-hmm. And then they started saying in the mid-90s, a little bit after that, early 2000s, they started saying, you know, maybe there's something to what this guy's saying, and that's exactly what happened to me. And now, in the late 2000s or mid-2000s, people are going, we already know that. And it really is something that everybody already knew and knows. They just didn't want to hear it because it meant change.
And
change from
good point.
And materialism mm-hmm. to
excellent.
Loving and treating other people like you want to be treated. Sorry I went on there, but it didn't
yeah,
know how to...
You have made a very, very good point because that is now what you were made fun of, what Laszlo was made fun of, what I encountered myself a number of years ago. That is evolving away. However, we still have those dualities. But in your book, Consciousness, this is, to use your subtitle, Bridging the Gap Between Conventional Science and the New Superscience, Quantum Mechanics. What I find so intriguing is that in this book, you interview different people who have decided to brave the tsunamis of discontent and, I'll use the word, disrespect. And I think that they said, we're going to get through this, and they are. And now they are able to give some information. Now, you have Robert John and Brenda Dunn, and they have what is called the PEAR Institute, P-E-A-R Institute. And they have done some incredible research regarding the mind and machines. Would you share some of that?
Well, the PEAR Lab's closed now, unfortunately. But they do have a library of everything that they did, and Brenda still actively communicates, and she's doing webinars now, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Interested in getting hooked up with those webinars, let me know. Send me an email, evahur@gmail.com, and I'll hook you up. But the biggest thing that Bob John did is he built a wooden board with wooden pegs sticking out of it. And these wooden pegs were nailed into this pegboard in the shape of a bell-shaped curve, you know, just mm-hmm. like a bell. Low at the bottom, goes up, and comes back down. And I guess, I don't know, I've never seen it personally, but to look at it, you would think that imagine that the pegs probably stick out somewhere between 6 and 8 or 10 inches. And they put a piece of plexiglass on the front. Very simple, archaic type of tool. And then he would have someone sit in front of it and get in a meditative state and think, all the balls fall to the left. And then he would drop 10,000 ping pong balls down into this cascade of pegs. And just like the lottery things. Mm-hmm. And you would expect half the balls to go to the right side of the bell and half to go into the left. But that's not what happened. Someone thought all the balls fall to the left. So gradually, all the balls fell to the left. Now, this work of Bob John's has been ridiculed by many people around the world. And Bob John, by the way, is the Dean Emeritus of the Engineering Department at Princeton University. He's no slough. But he's been ridiculed by many, many scientists. In fact, some of the scientists in my book. And saying that his work is not valid because it's not reproducible. What is being left out is people aren't taking into consideration the power of mind. Mm-hmm. In order to make these balls fall to the left, you have to be in an altered state of mind. And what does this mean to you in your life? It means if you want to change your life, if you really want to change your life and it's meant to be, if it's within your field of possibilities, then you've got to get into an altered state and be very cohesive. You've got to spend time in silence because you can't hear God and you can't hear mind chatter at the same time. You can't hear two people talking at the same time. And that's why many people's work's not reproducible because people are trying to do it and they're leaving out that important aspect of getting in the moment and getting into an altered state of mind.
You also, again, you have so many fascinating people here. Christian De Quincey, this is a person, and again, all of these individuals in your book are in very prestigious positionings. I'd like to digress for a minute. When you ask them for an interview where you could put it into a book, it appears to me that they were very happy to be able to share in a very concise way and manner information with you so that more people could be aware of it. Am I correct?
That's another story. I interviewed about 50 or 60 people starting back in 2005. And at the time, I didn't know I was going to be doing this. But I had a friend who was an astrophysicist who was also enlightened, so he got science. He was a PhD scientist in physics, and he was also enlightened, so he got metaphysics. And so he knew everything. He knew about everything there was, you know, all the metaphysics works, all the science, everything. And I met him when I had my spiritual experience, and so he understood me, even though I didn't have language. I didn't know how to describe what had happened. And so we talked. We spent hundreds of hours of talking, and so after reading everybody's work, we realized, hey, there's a problem here. The people, the scientists that are doing the work, don't even realize there's a problem. What can we do as two average people living in Atlanta, Georgia, a housewife and a retired scientist, do about this? So we came up with 20 questions, what we call 20 questions. And I just started interviewing people. Mm-hmm. And I'd call people up, and I was no one. I mean, I was a housewife. And I would call up these people, and for whatever reason, I'd say, my name's Eva Herr, and I do a show on BBS Radio, and I'd love to interview you about science. I'm not a debunking. I'm not going to, you know, try to ridicule you. I just want to ask questions, like a deposition. And they said, you know what? I don't know why, but I trust you to do that. And it happened like that. I didn't know I was going to do a book till years later. So these people didn't even know they were going to be in a book at the time. They just knew that they were trying to disperse information. Mm-hmm. And then when it got time to do the book, I transcribed the interviews. That's all I did, transcribed the interviews, sent it to each scientist and said, here's your interview. I'm putting it in a book. If you have any changes, you better make them because I'm not changing a word. Mm-hmm. So everybody did their own edits. put it in the book, and then I sent everybody a complete copy, and boy, was everybody amazed at what they found out about each other.
Mm-hmm. Wow,
and
what
that's
an incredible
how it happened.
Story. An incredible story. Now, let's go back to Christian Quincy, because he founded the Wisdom Academy, and he's written a number of books. With Christian, this is a man that really got into some bare-bone basics about how beliefs run our lives and so on so many levels, and how beliefs frequently are habits that we have developed without even thinking about it. I mean, let's face it, we're all indoctrinated from the moment we're born, depending on where we are, what our environment is, what our parents' belief systems are. And I have always, not always, but I would say once I got into the metaphysical work, I felt as if this life that we live is a processing system. And we're part of this phenomenal stuff, whatever you want to call it. You can call it God, you can call it, you can call it the is. Whatever term a person is comfortable utilizing, it's so huge, we just can't wrap our minds around it. But it is part of our responsibility to grow into who we are. You had your particular experiences, I've had mine, my listeners are having theirs. And I just think that books like yours give us an opportunity to move forward. And one of Quincy's statements was, we are embodied beings, and there's a lot going on in our bodies. And as long as we operate from our beliefs, we're not exercising free will or choice if we have not become aware of those beliefs and how they are expressing themselves in our lives and demonstrating things. There's some very profound wisdom that he shared with you.
He, to tell you the truth, Christian actually admitted, said, you know, you made me think about things I've not thought about before. And all I did, I have a background in litigation, I just ask questions. And if you go to his website, he wrote a complete article on just this interview. So you can, you know, see more about what he thinks about it. But he was the only philosopher. Well, I had Irvin Laszlo, but Irvin is also a systems analyst and does mm-hmm. all kinds of things. But he was the only philosopher that really got the big picture and the science together. But I'll tell you one thing about every single person that I interviewed in this book. You said they, I can't remember how you worded it at the beginning, but they had the guts to do this. They didn't have the guts. It was exactly what happened to me. Bad things started happening, and they started hearing, and they started saying, I have no choice. It was almost like somebody plucked you up out of the crowd and said, hey, you're going to do this, and if you don't do it, you're going to get a switching on your legs, you know? So you better do it. And that happened to every one of them. And another important thing, I ask every one of them, do you find that you've seen approximately 2-year cycles of repeated bliss and dark night of the soul, bliss and dark night of the soul? But ultimately, every time you have a bliss or a dark night of the soul, you handle it better the next time. So that every time you have a bliss and then go back to a dark night of the soul, you learn from the last dark night of the soul to walk a little bit closer to the middle of the line and not have so much passion or emotion attached to it. And that's what's enabled us all to withstand the ridicule and the harassment. And Bill Tiller says, you know, my department wanted me to go away. They thought I was a heretic.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not been an easy journey for any of them. It's been our path.
Mm-hmm. And you know,
it's everyone's path.
It is. It is. Everyone's path to one degree or another. And what you said about Tiller being ostracized, we have some friends who are involved in the world of science, and we've frequently had discussions about how, for many individuals, science has become a religion. And when whenever you think about religions, they are man-made, and there are those that will be in the hierarchy of saying, this is an absolute, this is not an absolute, and it's my way or the highway. And when you're in that kind of a structure, and you recognize that that structure is not allowing for expansion, that structure is absolutely dogmatized to such a degree that you cannot have originality. You are not going to have that sense of freedom. You become a prisoner of whatever the dogma status is within that environment. And for you to go against it, for you to have the courage to stand up and withstand it, that is a very difficult positioning to be in. And so frequently, it's very hard for individuals within those confines to understand and to see. So when you get your downloads of information, and I want to chat about that in just a moment, when you get those downloads of ahas that can cause you, like you said, the dark night of the soul or the bliss, you engage in a level of confusion to a degree because it's not fitting any modalities that have been established. This is brand new territory for the individual that's going through it. And it's wonderful if you can find someone that can help you. Like you had this scientist who, though he was retired, was open and able to listen to you. And it brings to mind what my mentor many years ago, they were going to put her in a mental institution. They thought she was crazier than a fruitcake.
I had no mentor for a very long time, and I did check into a mental institution twice because my family, I mean, it literally happened in the blink of an eye, but that's not what's important. What's important to me is that there are three ways that this can happen to you. It can happen like a big bang like it did to me, and none's more important than the other. I'm not special. You can gradually grow over your lifetime, slowly like a snail, or you can be a rabbit like me, or you can be born this way like our children. Our new children that are being born are different.
Yes.
And so the thing that is so important is if you recognize some deep thing in your soul where you keep being drawn, and you don't know what it is, and you can't figure out what it is, you don't have a word for it, but you know that when you do a certain thing, it feels a job, a thought process, interacting with people in some way of service, and it feels good, follow it. Mm-hmm. And watch for synchronicities, because that's the roadmap. I can't tell you, I can't stress it enough if you want to change your life to a better life, because we're in trouble, people. Every single scientist, there's a whole group of scientists that have signed a paper, hundreds of them, and presented to the United Nations several years ago. We're in trouble, people. We do not have enough resources, natural resources, clean water, food, space to live to last the next 10 years at the current population growth rate and the current consumption rate. We are in trouble. Greed and materialism need to go. Kindness and service to humanity needs to come in. And if you do it, it's the only food for your soul.
Mm-hmm.
Simply put, mm-hmm. Service to humanity and loving one another is the only, and it actually, there's physics behind it. You know, we're beings of light, and it causes photons and protons to exchange energy. So it's your only food for the soul. If you want to feel better, do that.
Mm-hmm.
Start there. Makes a difference.
Yes, it does. It is one of the greatest healing factors that there is, and it builds momentum. And people can just start right where they are. I do want to say that within the structure of each one of these interviews that are in your book with these very, very respected individuals and individuals that are just really dedicated to making this world a better place on one level or another. There's experiments that were done that I know Mr. William Tiller designed through his group, and sustained attention or sustained intention is something that is quite powerful. And if you look at history and you look at people who have had sustained intention, it's amazing what they've been able to achieve. I think of Dr. Carver, who was never one that wanted attention, and yet he just did incredible things for life. He left this world such a better place to live. We have so many people, just like the ones you've mentioned in your book and others, that are doing the same thing. And they are not concerned about fame or fortune. They are concerned about leaving this world a better place. And I really think that your book, Consciousness, Bridging the Gap Between Conventional Science and the New Super Science of Quantum Mechanics, is a contributor towards that, Eva, because when we can put information in printed word, when we can share it through various forms of media, there's something somewhere that is going to be touched. It has a ripple effect, and its ripple just keeps going on and on like the Energizer Bunny, and you just never know whose life might be changed by what is shared. Now,
That's right. What they say? They say that the flapping of the wings of the butterfly, because energy is subtle, can make a tsunami on the other side of the world. Mm-hmm. It only takes that when Bob John had those people meditating to make those balls fall to the left, he didn't have to have 100, just one person.
Mm-hmm.
You can be the person, one person, to change the critical mass of this world. And it may look like our world is falling apart, but it's not. It's just restructuring. Be
right.
That one person.
Absolutely. That's a wonderful way for us to end our delightful conversation this morning, Eva. Now, for those of you listening, you can go to Eva Herr, EvaHerr.com, and you can find out all kinds of wonderful information about her. Also, she wanted me to mention a website, InspireMeToday.com. InspireMeToday.com. So you've got two wonderful websites. The book is loaded with superb information that allows you to take maybe what you already are aware of and expand a curiosity, if you will, or understand maybe what you've been going through, why you've been going through it. And above all, remember, those of us that have experienced certain things, we're always happy to share, because it is only through being open and communicative and having integrity with what we do are we going to be able to empower you to discover yourself and the greatness within you. And just like Eva said, like the wings of a butterfly can create a tsunami on the other side of the world, you can be that one person right where you are. Don't worry about whatever costume you're wearing at this time. Maybe you're garbage collector, housewife, scientist. It doesn't make any difference. You can make a difference. Eva Herr, thank you so much for being a guest on my show today. I wish you continued success. And when you come out with your next book, you need to let me know.
Thank you, Donna. I'm honored to be here, and it's my humble privilege. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And have a good new 2013, everybody.
Yes, ma'am. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you.
We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Topperson will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Topperson. Topperson is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Topperson or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Topperson, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. I'm so delighted that you're with me today. By the way, phone lines are open. Telephone number to call into is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. I just love doing this show. I find that there are so many awesome people on this planet that have so much good to share. And I really like the comment that Eva made right at the end of our chat, where she said, the world is not going to be disappearing. Things are just restructuring themselves. And if you enjoy history, which I guess because as I get older, it's something that intrigues me more and more. I've always loved history, but I liked history when I could be with someone that had actually experienced it or someone in their family had had it. I wanted history not to be dry and boring. I wanted it to have a story to it. I wanted to be able to feel the history. And I have been so blessed through doing this programming to interview people of all ages, some close to 100 years of age, who have seen a level of history that I haven't. And in the conversations, in the materials that I've read, there have always been cycles of intensity for change. And when that change has evolved, it's been extremely disruptive, politically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. It is necessary because the only way we can really grow is by stress, believe it or not, and pushing our way through what we cannot see. And it often entails our changing our belief systems, too. And we touched on that a little bit, and it's very, very tough. But I like to use nature as an example. If you've ever done any gardening, you know that there are seasons where you put seeds into the ground. And sometimes these seeds, you're lucky if you can even see them. They are so minute. And you have to cover them. You have to make sure you've got fertilizer. But you got to leave them alone. You need to leave those seeds alone. And out of an itsy bitsy seed that you can barely even see, a few months later, could be 6 months, 9 months, depending on what the planting cycle is, could even be a year. All of a sudden, there is this sprout that comes from within the darkness of the earth. And that sprout has had to deal with bugs, microorganisms, and it pushes its way through the ground. And that's hard work for that plant. That's very hard work. And then when it's growing, and depending on what it is going to come into itself through its own process. And it is hard work. Because there's always going to be a concern about, well, if the soil isn't real healthy, will it have the strength and stamina to survive? Is there enough water? What's the weather like? I often admire trees. I walk around our neighborhood, and I look at what literally is thousands of seedlings, little itsy-bitsy things. They may get to be like about an eighth of an inch or a half an inch in height. but they're not all going to survive, because there has to be a combination of things, and it has to weather, if you will, all kinds of stuff. It's just like right now here in the Pacific Northwest, we've got a series of storms coming through. This is harsh stuff. This is not easy. And I think of a tree that withstands the winds, can be a little tiny seedling that is grown, and oh man, you watch it get blown and hammered on, and you go, I wonder if it's going to survive. And you don't pay attention to it. Maybe a couple of years later, that little tiny thing that didn't look like it could survive anything is a tree that's 6 feet tall. It's amazing. I find Mother Nature is one of the greatest teachers, and there was someone that taught me that a long time ago, that you need to be able to be still. You need to be able to open your eyes and observe. We live in little cubicles of confinement. It is so hard for anyone to break free of a cubicle of environment, of training. It is so difficult to let go of what we think are established paradigms and to open ourselves up to new modalities. It's very hard because it's scary. We want to know from the people around us, have you ever done this before? What do you think about it? And if you were like me when I first started getting involved in the psychic area, now I was very fortunate because I have had a wonderful woman as a mentor, and she had walked a terrifically difficult path for a lot of years and was just accused of all kinds of nonsense. But she survived it and made her tougher. And she kicked and she fought and she screamed. She said, you are not taking away from me what I have discovered. I am not insane. I know what I'm talking about. And as time evolved, not only was she proven right, but she found that people from around the world would come and sit with her in her simply furnished living room to learn what she had to teach. She was a powerful person, a very powerful person, and I feel very fortunate that I was brought in contact with her. And so these are things that we go through. If you're having a tough time in life, don't whine. Ask yourself, what can you learn from whatever you're going through? And sometimes it's the nasty people in our lives that teach us. Sometimes it's the gracious ones. But you're going to find your teachers, and your downloading of information is going to come through many different venues and avenues. And I think when we can become aware of that, when we recognize that, we will realize we're not alone, number one. And by reading and by reaching out to those environments that have a familiarity with what you have experienced, you may find a compatible spirit, and you grow and you learn. And it's an ongoing process. You're never going to get it totally. It just doesn't happen, because you are part of something that's so much bigger than you can even conceive of. And you are a very significant part of this experience we call life. Each and every one of us. I'm in awe of the whole thing, actually. When I watch various programs I've seen on television, certain movies that are made, conversations that I'm hearing, materials that are brought to me so that I can interview people, I look at all of this. It takes every bit of this, good, bad, and indifferent, to enable us to break through to what we need to expand into. It's a fascinating phenomenon. So you do have to be awake. You do have to say, well, here I am. Or sometimes, like with Eva, she got a download of information and she said, thank you, but no thanks. I really am not interested in this crap. Leave me alone. I don't need it. I don't want it. But you get it anyway. That happened to my mentor. But what my mentor did, she was curious. She said, okay, I'm given this information. Let me see if there's anybody that has anything to say about it. And she discovered that this is truly nothing new. But we are in a time of change. We're having more people awake rather than asleep is vitally necessary because it means that we have a right of choice and we can make decisions that can impact the bettering of the world that we live in on multiple levels that we could never consciously even imagine. Donna Siebel here, and if you want to give me a buzz, 888-627-6008 is a telephone number to call into. I would be delighted to chat with you and to give you insights for this new year of 2013. Tomorrow we're going to be talking with Micah Hanks, the UFO singularity. What does that mean? Well, you're going to have to listen in to find out. And then how not to wear black. We're going to be traveling to England, London, in fact, to talk to Jewel Standish. This woman is involved in fashion, and she's come up with some perspectives about how we can use black in a dress attire, but when to use it and when not. Okay, and then Naked Determination. Gisela Hausman is going to be my guest. We are going to be talking about the big D word so that we can use it to enable us to move forward in life. And then on Friday, we're going to be talking with Stanley Krippner about a man, Rolling Thunder, who was a shaman, and the wisdom that he shared with many, including Stanley himself. So we've got a great lineup of guests. Now, by the way, I wasn't able to finish my story about a woman by the name of Joycey Hirth. Now, Joycey had a daughter whose name, she got her mother's name as well. Now, young Joycey, she was only 5 years old. This took place in Cedarburg, Wisconsin. She had come home from a birthday party to find that her father and two brothers had gone to a movie without her. Well, she was a very precocious 5 years old. She said, I'm going to go meet my dad and my brothers. I'm going to go to the movie theater, too. So she took off. Now, Mom was busy at home. She was washing dishes at her kitchen sink. When she knew, she got a download of information. She knew that something had happened to her daughter. She knew that her daughter had been in an accident. Without hesitation, the mother, whose name again is Joycey too, she goes to the phone, she calls the theater, and she says, quote, my little girl was on the way to the theater. She has had an accident. Is she badly hurt? Now, the person that answered the phone at the theater was just absolutely shocked because the accident had just happened a moment before the phone rang. And it turned out that young Joycey, in her hurry to go to join her dad and brothers, ran directly into the path of a moving car just outside of the movie house. Now, when she was hit, she bounced off the fender and landed on the pavement. But she wasn't badly hurt. I mean, a five-year-old, you would have expected her to really, having been thrown that distance, to be severely injured. Now, the mother, when she was talking about it later, she said, I did not see or have a mental image of a car hitting my daughter, but I did have the distinct impression, a very strong impression, that I did not question, I didn't hesitate. It was necessary for me to call the theater. I knew she had had an accident. Now, it was a period of time after this particular event that the daughter said that after she was hit, she ran to the side of the street crying and calling out in her mind, Mama, Mama, Mama. And she said, in my mind, I was screaming. Now, her mother didn't hear or see anything that showed her what had happened. But telepathically, she knew her daughter was in trouble. And this has happened so many times to so many people, especially in the mother-child experience. Telepathy, very, very real. It happens. It's happened to me many times. And it's often not replicable in a lab because it's specifically oriented to a certain circumstance, a certain happening. Well, that was the rest of the story I promised you on Friday and wasn't able to get to. We're taking a break for just a moment. When we come back, I've got some other good things to share with you. So I look forward to having you join me again. We'll be right back.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Have you ever watched a show? Oh, don't let me forget. You can call me if you like. 888-627-6008. And all I need from you is your first name or initial. But I wanted to discuss something today that, and I love stories like this. Have you ever watched programs or read a book about someone that discovered something that ended up being the wonderful step to finding a buried treasure or all kinds of unique things, and you go, wow, I wish something like that had happened to me. It intrigues me how, when I watch the Antiques Roadshow, someone will say, I picked this up out of a garbage can. Don't you just love it? Go, yeah, I got it for free. It came out of a garbage can. It's worth $25,000. You go, whoa, I wish that would happen to me. Well, in 1992, I want to share this story with you. There was a farmer, and this was during the month of November, and it occurred in Suffolk, England. England is loaded with these stories, as I think many places in the world are, but there just seems to be, because that part of the globe is so old, it's got so much history to it, that unique things like this, when they happen, it's almost like, well, what took them so long to find this? Well, this occurred in 1992. There was a farmer living near the village of Hoxney in Suffolk, England, and he lost his hammer in one of his fields. So he asked someone that he knew by the name of Eric to use a metal detector to search for it. When you're a farmer, you're very frugal, typically, because you know that every one of your tools is going to cost you to replace it. And so you really want to take care, if you're a conscientious person, you want to take care of what you've got. Well, while he was looking for the hammer, Eric happened upon something else. This is what he found. 24 bronze coins, 565 gold coins, 14,191 silver coins, plus hundreds of gold and silver spoons, jewelry, and statues, all dating back to the Roman Empire. Now, this phenomenal find was given the nickname of Hoxney Hoard, and there are laws in Britain, British law. The men had to report this finding to the local authorities, who declared that this was a treasure trove, and guess what? It became legal government property. However, under British laws, it requires the government to pay fair market value for any treasure trove. So the Hoxney Hoard, well, the finders, they may not have ended up being the keepers, but they had to be paid. The farmer and Eric Laws split. a delightful 1.75 million pounds. And the Hoxie hoard is on permanent display at the British Museum. Well, the hammer, you ever wonder what the hammer, what happened to the hammer? Well, eventually it turned up. And Eric Laws, who had done the job his friend had asked him to do, donated that hammer to the British Museum. See, you just never know when something simple can bring in something great. So I had to share that story with you because I just think those kinds of stories are absolutely wonderful. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat at 888-627-6008. This is a new year, and I don't know about you, but it's a wonderful time. January can be sort of a down month, and if you will take advantage of it and appreciate it, this is a wonderful time for you to spend some meditation and ask yourself what it is you want from this new year, what it is you want to give to this new year. It is also a great time to go through, get rid of old stuff. If you had holiday items that you really don't want to be bothered with anymore, you'd like to see them go into a different environment, maybe you're moving. Well, this is a good time to go through clothes, to go through your closets, go through your garage, get some boxes and just put stuff in it and take it down to your local shelters, wherever, you know, the Goodwill, Salvation Army, rescue missions, women's shelter groups, whatever. You've got old coats, anything like that, stuff for children. This is a wonderful time to get rid of it. This is a time to reorganize. Lots of times we think, well, springtime is best. But, you know, wintertime, you're closed in, the weather stinks outside, and why not take advantage of it? Turn off the television. Just really turn on some nice music, maybe. Or maybe you need to just journal. What are your objectives? Maybe this is a good time to build a vision board about what is most important to you. What do you want to do with your life? What is it that you want to examine about yourself? What do you want to give to yourself so that you can be more aware of what's going on around you? By the way, there's a couple of organizations I thought you should know about. If you have old jeans and you don't want them anymore, there is an organization I've never heard of. It's called CottonFromBlueToGreen.org. CottonFromBlueToGreen.org. They take the old jeans and they break them down into their natural fibers, and they are repurposed as insulation for new homes for those in need. Habitat for Humanity takes the materials that this company uses, and it's all natural, doesn't have any toxic off-gassing, and so it's really very, very good. Also, you can go to an organization, onewarmcoat.org/donate, and they take coats and they distribute them. And then for the troops, you can, well, let's say you've got some things you really don't like, clothes, a shirt, whatever, PJs, anything that maybe you just didn't want to go back and exchange, you know you're never going to wear. Well, you can go and send it to somuchcomfort.org, somuchcomfort.org. This organization creates custom-made adaptive clothing for injured service members. What an incredible thing. When you think this world doesn't have good people in it, I got news for you. There are tens of thousands, millions of them. I'm so privileged to have had this time with you. Thank you so much. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Join me tomorrow. We're going to be checking out singularity, UFOs, and more. Donna Sebo here. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.